This is professional radio, gentlemen.
And it's front wheel drive.
Scotty, have you got anyone you want to thank?
Just myself.
And now we do the after hours.
Gentlemen, what would you go for?
Thanks to your sin there.
Okay, and because it's not a supercar.
But it is.
It's not.
Automotive perfection comes in the form of two letters, A and U.
Long live my LTD.
Welcome to Car Talk. It's Tuesday night here on 98.9 Northwest FM. It's me, Matty J, in studio with Chad and online with Scotty Doe Johnson. How are you, fellas?
Very good.
Doing pretty good. Thank you very much, Matty. How are you going?
Good, mate. Good to see you. Let's crack on straight away with some car updates. Scotty Doe, updates with you, man. How's Blade Life? We're talking before the show. Blade Life's a good life, it looks like.
It is a good life. I think the thing that I really like is how effortless you can just get up hills mm-hmm. and accelerate. There's no delay in boost or anything. It just stays nice and low in the rev range and up you go. I think that's the best part.
Dude, I mean, that motor, like we were talking about before the show, it's just, it's one of Toyota's best engines ever. It'd be in their top 10 for me, or top five even. Because mm-hmm. it's been used in absolutely quite literally everything. It's used in Lotus vehicles. It's quite a good engine. Like it's reliable. It's powerful. It's silky smooth. It sounds good. And V6s are known not to sound quite great, but that engine sounds great. And yeah, just being super reliable. Like the reason why I got my dad into an Orion after his Mercedes is because that engine won.
Yeah.
And two, it's just effortless, like a torquey motor. They're very easy to drive, you know, just silky smooth. And there's got to be a lot said about an engine that can do all those things.
Yeah, did unroll with the design of it. And I still remember the reveal of it in the Orion and all that. That was amazing. That was like, it was such a cool way to introduce a car and all that. You know, they had that green or gold, was it?
Yeah, it was like a goldy, citrusy kind of color.
Fully blanked out windows, like blacked out. And it looked like a concept car. And then they were like, this is the engine in it. And yeah, it was awesome.
Dude, do you know when companies used to do concept cars? Like what a time to be alive.
Yeah.
You know, what a time to, you know.
Now they just release them without even saying anything about it. Rivian's like, here's brand new, three new cars that we haven't talked about.
When did this come? Oh, no, they're out.
Yeah, they are. They're already out. You can buy them right now. Yeah.
But yeah, Scotty, love that engine. Like, and we talked about it on the show before. It is quite literally an Orion if you close your eyes, like in terms of how it feels and the sound. But they sound great. And I guess it'd be nice to see the difference in the, you know, four cylinders to a six cylinder car. That you know, in terms of just that bottom end torque where you don't have to try, it just does things for you.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly right. It does everything that you want. I guess the only other news is not just using car sales. That's kind of the Subaru is on Facebook Marketplace. So starting to get some messages popping up through there.
Can I be one of your messages? Is it available?
Yep.
Yes. Thumbs up.
Yeah. I didn't even get a thumbs up.
Leaves conversation.
Red.
I didn't even get a thumbs up. I said yes and that was it.
Yep.
There's another one that says he wants to check it out on the weekend. We'll see if that's true or not.
Is this for the Subaru? Yep.
Yeah.
Nice.
There was another one that was having a chat, and now we're kind of just talking about cars, so he's not interested.
You've made friends.
It's just his own one.
Selling cars.
And it's become a chat about it. He was keen to see what kind of turbo conversion and that's done on it, but I didn't do it, so I'm not 100% sure. Just going through my pictures at the moment while we're chatting to see the specs, because he's from SA, but he knows some people looking, so he's going to pass some details onto them for me also. So, you know, that's still nice of him, so I appreciate that. Poor Skyline is just sitting there, being all sad.
I'm telling you, Scotty, we're all going to come over, we're going to do a working bee, get it done in a few hours. That's what we're going to do.
A few hours is a bit optimistic.
Mate, you have like 10 of us there.
Yeah.
Two inside the car, two underneath the car, two in the engine bay. Mate, it'll be done in no time.
The car would have never seen that much action in its life.
Yeah. That's,
Scotty,
that's
you want to do a thing. You'd just be site manager, Scotty. Just be like, just bringing everybody coffees and that. And like,
yeah. Yeah, we got to do it.
Supervising.
Site supervisor.
Yeah.
I'd at least try and pitch in and help.
Yeah.
I'd just buy all the parts.
You'll be
hey,
like,
we're missing these bolts. All right, I'll do a run. I'll go get them.
Yeah. You'd be like Dennis DeNudo from The Castle, water. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. You'll definitely do that. But look, I think get that last bit of the puzzle, the what's it called? The
just for the transmission to hold it.
Correct. And once you do that, then I think you're good.
Is it like the support brace? Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. The support. Yeah. Yeah. Because you can use a manual one, but then you've got to drill your own holes in there.
Okay.
But what's the point in that when I can buy this kit that's made for the auto holes to transfer it over?
Yeah, absolutely.
For the manual ones, I think that will be much easier than drilling and threading and making new holes. That just sounds annoying. So we'll skip that part, I think.
So you'll turn it into a Mexican transmission and then it'll be a lot better.
Exactly right. I don't need to worry about it not working.
Yeah.
And then I can drive it and enjoy it.
Absolutely. Well, look, the hard part's done, Scotty. It's on the road now, technically.
Exactly. It is. It's got the number plate, so...
That's all that matters.
It's allowed to be there. It's allowed to be there.
That's literally
the main thing.
Quite literally. No, that's awesome. That's awesome, mate. Chad. Updates with you?
Yeah, I've had a couple of things happening.
Uh-huh.
Cooking, maybe in the kitchen. So I don't think it was sort of mentioned on the podcast, but I ended up buying another car in the last few weeks or so. It's kind of been, like an unofficial, I've been looking for one of these, you know, not very actively, but somewhat, like, you know, I might search for it every now and then.
Mm-hmm.
And then, I finally decided I'll search, you know, in other states, because I've always been, you know, sort of scared to buy a car from interstate. But, you know, I said, stuff it. You know, whatever it is, I can pay for the transport. I'm a big boy now.
Yeah.
And, you know.
You work in transport.
Exactly. I can arrange that. And so, you know, so I was looking for a 190E and, decided to search outside of Victoria. And, yeah, one had popped up in Brisbane. And I pretty much as soon as I saw it and I saw what it was and I thought, I have to message this guy. I have to get in touch with him right now. I was actually working. I was working in the office that week, so that was sort of a saving grace that I could like
message
him. Yeah, I could message him, and I could just be like really annoy him about like trying to get the car sort of thing. And so I ended up buying the car sight unseen just based on the photos and stuff that he provided off Marketplace, and you know, I just had a good chat to him on the phone about it. And it's a 190E 84.
An early car.
It's an early one. Yeah. And it's, well, yeah, so 82 is when they released. And then
I think we got a 84 in Australia.
That's right, yeah. And I'm still learning a lot about this car. It's very foreign to me. It's my first sort of, you know, real European car, you could say.
It's a proper European.
Yeah, so it's a 190E with the Sportsline body kit. And it's manual. It's a manual factory manual 190E, which is what I've been looking for quite a long time. And, you know, it's not in the best condition paint wise, but, I've bestowed it upon myself to paint the car and just, you know, I can sort that out.
Yeah.
And, thankfully I drove the car up and down my driveway once it got delivered by a tow truck.
It works.
All the gears work. Everything works in it. It's amazing. Like all the electrics work. It's in really good nick for how crap the paint is. The guy who I bought it off had decided to strip the paint back to metal and then go, you know, I'm going to paint this and fix it up and whatever. And, you know, he's run into some life trouble and whatnot and, some sickness and he couldn't finish it. So I think what he did was once he went back to metal, he put a top coat on it, like a clear coat, to stop it from rusting a lot. It's still rusted, but mostly surface. I mean, I don't think there's any structural rust in it, from what I can tell.
Been sending it back. It's been fine.
It comes up great. Oh, I've been putting a little bit of like scorch marks on the metal, but that's my fault from using a crappy sander. Like that's, you know, it's not, the guy actually did quite a good job with going back to metal. Yeah. I think I must have like paint stripped it instead of sanding back. And so he put a top coat on it. So it kind of like stays a little bit, you know, unrusted or somewhat treated. And so look, I'm in the process of just blocking the whole car back. I've done the bonnet. That took me a whole day to do. And now just sitting in primer, I've just got to slowly work through all the panels, and that's the biggest part of it, really. I mean, once that's done, it maybe some suspension and brakes, and it's probably good to go on the road.
Yeah.
And I'm amazed at how good in condition the car is in.
Well, you showed me the photo. Yeah. The interior is mint.
Yeah, it's quite literally, like, some of the door cards are a bit ratty, but the rest of it is really good. You know, the biggest part is that it was the manual gearbox is in awesome condition.
It's hard to get them in a manual. Like they didn't sell many.
Not many at all. And
anyway.
Yeah, and I you know, every time I've looked, it was always like the same three or four cars for sale, and they weren't moving either, and they were a little bit absurdly priced. So I think that was, you know, that was the. That's probably a reason why it wasn't, you know. I think maybe people are a little bit scared of them as well. They're just a little bit unknown of a car. They're a little bit off. I mean, they're very popular, obviously, but not really in Australia.
They're not your E30.
No, that's right. So, yeah, so another addition to the stable. Needs a lot of work, but we'll get there. It's a slow and steady process, and I'm trying to take my time with it because I don't, you know, you don't want to rush prepping paint and destroying panels and body kits and stuff. So yeah, it's because
the body kits for those are very expensive, the Sportline body kits.
I've come to find out that it's very hard to get, but also when they come up for sale, quite pricey. So
would you keep a Sportline body kit or would you go Evo body kit?
Man, I've thought about the Evo thing, but there's a part of me that would love that, except there's also a part of me that it thinks it's a little bit try hard.
Okay.
In terms of, I actually really like the Sportline body kit because it's very subtle, but you get over fenders, you get like very low skirts and lips on the bumpers and stuff, and spoiler. Evo would be the next step, and you can get them like from Thailand, like fiberglass.
Good versions, kits?
Or quite good ones, apparently. Okay. Yeah, and you can get one or two, like Evo one or two.
Yeah.
And
the two ones are nuts.
It's wild. The Evo 2 body kits are just, they're insane. I don't know.
Yeah.
Just an absurd shape, huge wheel arches, and so good. Anyway, we'll see. I'd like to get the car back to what it was, and then I can decide if I want to go Evo or if I somehow land my hands on some AMG bits and stuff for that, because that'd be very cool as well. So we'll see.
So what's the plan? So the plan is, what was the original color of the car? The original color was
red.
Red,
like whatever the red is.
You're
going to go back to red.
Okay.
Just because then I can match the, you know, the door jams and interior. The engine bay color and stuff. And then, you know, we'll see. Maybe I'll wrap it, or maybe I'll go a different color on the outside. But I've never had a red car, so maybe, you know, there's, you know, time, a first time for everything. And so we'll see. Yeah.
If you go red, I was going to say, even if you put the primer on it, block it back, get it like pretty much nice, you can always just wrap it as it is.
Pretty much, yeah. Yeah, you can wrap it on primer and.
Yeah, fine.
Yeah. I'm not sure. I mean, I can't say for now that if I would ever sell it or not sell it, but
I think this is a keeper for you.
I mean, it's such a cool car in my mind. And we'll see. I'd like it to be in a good state as well. You know, I don't necessarily want to wrap a car that is a bit ratty or something. Yeah, that's right. And, you know, I think a painted car, obviously, is, it's probably more valuable in terms of, you know, whatever insurance and asset wise. So we'll see. There's a lot to decide on.
Is the kit complete? Are the body kit's complete?
Yeah, I looked at all the parts. Yeah. I looked at all the parts that he provided, and he just put them all in the boot. He put one of the side skirts on, and then the other one was inside the car. But it all looks complete, unbroken. Like, all some of the clips are missing, but I can get that stuff. But all the main parts, like the Sacco panels, the rear pods, the front. What are they called? Sorry. Yeah, the bit between the front bumper on and the side skirt is there, like the mat. I don't really know what they're called, to be honest. Spoiler is there. Spoiler is a very sought after item for them.
They're the one that goes like that, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like very squared off.
Square car.
Yeah, it's a square car, and all the bits are there, which is awesome. So I'm so excited to get it back together.
Okay, so once you get it back together, painted.
Yeah.
What's the plan? What's the goal? You're gonna put wheels, suspension. What are you gonna do?
I'd love to do. I know everyone says wheels and lows are not a build, but that is my favorite thing about doing to cars. I want to get some cool wheels for it, whether it's OEM Mercedes stuff or
some monoblocks or some hammers or something.
Yeah, or even like a nice set of BBS RSs or something, and just really go like all out on the wheels, just because they really stand out. Mm. And then, figure out how to lower the car, because it's a weird setup. It's got that weird 5-link suspension and front.
All right. Okay.
It's got like separate shock and spring on the front, 5-link arm. It's really bizarre.
Yeah.
But we'll see, I suppose. And I don't know. Plan is to get it on the road, and then I'll figure it out. I don't want to get ahead of myself too much.
Scotty, what did your 202 have? You had wheels on that. It looked good. I remember your car always looked. He had a C43 AMG.
Holy.
Yeah, rare car.
That is awesome.
What wheels did I have on it?
Yeah, you had BBS something. LMs, right?
The LMs, yeah.
Oh, that's so good, man. It's like $6,000 a set now.
BBS LMs. That's absurd. But I had the stock ones too, so I could change it over.
Yeah, nice.
The LMs looked hot.
It's such a good looking wheel.
It looked hot. I mean, you love that car, Scotty. You need to get into a 202. We all need to get Benzes again. I need to get a 124.
Yeah, let's
all do it, guys.
Getting back to a 202.
Like that era of Mercedes, that 190, the W124, the 202, the solidity of those cars.
It's unreal.
Like, they were quite literally German vaults. Like,
a
vault.
Yeah.
Shut the door. Boom. Like, it's like,
solid. Literally built like probably the same material as they used in the World War II tanks, like the Panzers and stuff. Feels that way.
Straight from a Tiger tank.
Dude, I remember your 202, Scotty, and I remember when you we rocked up to work one time, and I could hear I parked opposite you, in the car park. And I just hear, like, I remember just the clunk of the door. I was like, that is a quality car.
Yeah. It was a lot of material there.
Like new Mercedes are not made like that, anywhere near as good. They were built to be a good car.
Yeah.
And that's why so many 190s are still on the road.
So many.
There's quite a lot of 190s that are still on the road. Even 180s are still on the road.
Yeah. A 43, a C43, that's a small block V8?
Yeah, correct.
Yeah, well, that would have sounded awesome.
It did sound good.
I don't think I've ever heard one or, like, even been in one or anything.
Well, a Mercedes V8, for me, always a good sounding V8. Like,
yeah.
They're more like, I mean, you've heard a C63 before. Like, they just...
Yeah, of course.
Obviously good. Like, they're a dirty sound.
Yeah, so, yeah.
Like, it's automotive pornography for you. Yeah. it's really, really... great sounding V8, but I'd love to get into another Benz.
Be amazing.
Maybe a 190. we'll workshop this. That's super exciting. So wheels, suspension. I think just keep it clean.
Yeah, pretty much.
Make it super clean.
Just want to complete all the bits that are like a bit broken, and just sort of get it back up to
100%.
Respectable sort of condition. It's a fairly complete car apart from missing paint. Apart from that, it's very complete, which is awesome.
So you're gonna do the prep work, send it to a body shop, get it sprayed?
Yeah, I think so. I might even try and find a place that'll let me like rent a booth,
yeah,
and then try and give myself a go at spraying it. Because once you've prepped it,
yeah,
and it's drivable and stuff, you can just sort of go roll it in and out of a booth, and it's just a matter of finding a place, you know. Yeah. But it is a skill that I want to teach myself.
Absolutely.
And it's all just a trial and error thing.
It takes a lot of,
you know, if I mess it up, it's my fault. I'll just go back to primer, start again, whatever.
I'd be like to the guy, here you go, can you use door horn?
Yeah. Until I get sick of it. Yeah. Apart from that, I mean, that's kind of taken up my last couple of weeks, but yeah, I've kind of put the Tarago on the back burner, fixing the Tarago because the steering shaft brokenness. But I've been meaning to get that back on the road because I want to sort of take it for a big, big drive as winter's coming up. Yeah. Go for a big like weekend, yeah, like a weekend of camping or something. Oh. Yeah, and snow would be awesome. Yeah, Sylvia it is as it is, really. Yeah, and all the other cars are, you know, as they are. I've got a track day coming up on the Civic for the first time. I'll be the first track day with a cage, so that'll be interesting to suss out how it is and if it's been built well. Yeah, I mean, time will tell.
I don't want to suss that out yet because
I'm not saying to suss it out in terms of honestly, how does it roll. No,
see, I got my book.
Yeah. But yeah, I just want to sort of suss it out if they've like, you know, tightened everything up to you know, good torque specs and yeah, see how it goes. I guess.
You haven't seen it.
Yeah, yeah, I've got a Sparco Sprint, like a fixed back, and now I've got to put my like 5-point harness in it and make sure it's all like sort of it's going to keep me in place.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to it though. It's very excited, and yeah, that's kind of about it. What about you, Maddie? What's going on, man? What's the car updates?
I think I was moving all weekend. Really giving an update on the lays the other day. So that's going really well. Oh, I drove a few different cars this week, actually. So shout out to my friends at Highlight Printing. So I organized the yearbook for my school.
Yeah, okay.
And the guy, like, I noticed on his wall he had two like stomp impressions of his of a BAGT and a GXP Malou.
Oh wow.
I'm like, oh, like they're really nice. He's like, oh, they're the cars I got. I'm like, so we started talking, and he's a massive car guy, and I'm a massive car guy. So he's like, oh, if I've got them in, you can just take it for a spin. So the other day he had the GT, and he's like, oh, can I take it for a spin? And it's an early GT, it's a BAGT, so 5-speed manual.
Awesome.
And I loved it. It drove really, really well. And then today he had the GXP out.
No, wow.
So and that's how to tune
special
exhaust. So, you know, it's LS3. They're LS engines, dude. Like, they're just so good.
Yeah.
Like, they are, you know, they rev and they sound good. You know, it felt really good. And that was making in the 300s at the wheels and super smooth.
And, in a ute as well.
Yeah, manual ute.
All right.
So yeah, that was good fun. So I thought I'd say that we don't do good things like that anymore. It's a shame.
Yeah,
it's
a shame.
It just kind of reiterated the point of like, we made some cracking cars. So it was just like it was kind of bittersweet. Like, what got out of it? I'm like, oh, geez, that was good. And I'm like, yeah, that's such a shame that we don't.
It's not going to happen again. Yeah.
So that does suck. But yeah, cracking the drive, it was awesome. Took a few photos of the cars and. And yeah, man, that was that. I drove the Typhoon a lot last week. I've decided I'm just going to do the rear main, I think.
Yeah, okay.
It's getting to the point now where it's just starting to leak, not weep.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, the clutch is still fine, but I've got another clutch for it waiting to go. So I might put the new clutch in it, put a seal in it, take the other clutch out, rebuild the clutch because you can rebuild the plate.
Oh, right. Interesting. So you just get replacement like friction.
You can actually get them made for it.
Yeah, well.
So there's a place that does it, and it's like it's a lot cheaper. And I'll just have it aside, put it away.
Yeah.
So I might dump the clutch a few times.
in preparation, yeah.
And see how we go, but yeah, I've got to do that. I've got to take the motor out of the MR2.
Oh right,
the rear main on that
same thing. Yeah.
So. Rear mains are not a fun job. I think what I'll do is with the MR2 is I'll buy a clutch for it. I'll buy the seal for it. And once I'm ready, I'll just do it. That's that. Scamp, I'm almost there. I think I know I keep saying it every week, but it's getting really, really close. I can't wait to just drive it. You know,
yeah.
It's just like it's the slowest car I've ever driven, but it's just so much fun. It doesn't bother me.
Slowest, smallest, least lightest. Amount of lightest, least amount of. CCs.
Yes.
It's
about cylinders.
Yeah, cylinders. Small of everything. Yeah.
But you know, it's quirky and I love it. And I can't wait to, dude. What we're gonna do is we're all gonna go in it and we might have to get out of it when we're going up hills, but it'll be all right.
How many seat belts does it have?
Two. So they got two front seat belts.
It's got
a back seat.
It's got back seats, but without seat belts.
No, there's no seat belts.
Oh my god.
I've got. The seatbelt attachments, I got them off David.
Oh, right.
Obviously, Mr. Scamp himself, Scampy Prince himself.
Yeah.
So now I just have to get belts made up.
Holy crap. That's amazing.
But I did go in this time last year. I went in like a really early Volkswagen Beetle. And I knew my biggest mistake was when Ed was driving. Because I've seen how he drives cars. He's got a bit of a lead foot, as you would know, Scotty.
Yeah.
Anyway, it was him driving. He's made the owner of the Beetle in the passenger seat, in the front passenger seat. I was in the back with Alex. And we're on a 110 kilometer road, and I'm like, and no seat belts. I'm like, oh, this is it. I'm going to die today.
This is the
last day of my life. So put it this way, we got to 110 and we sat there for a bit and went around some corners. And the moment he turned around, I'm like, okay, I'm halfway there, and got back. I'm like, oh, get me out of this thing. I'm like, how did people do this back in the 50s? Like, what is wrong with him? But yeah, it was part of the experience. It's just like, it was just felt weird being in a car without a seatbelt.
Yeah.
And I know a lot of cars back then, and still a lot of cars today, like don't have seatbelts. Like people, classic cars, because they never came with them, so you technically don't have to have them.
Yeah.
But I guess it's just a nice piece of security. Like, and it's something that you mentally just, you do as soon as you hop in your car.
If you've got your head screwed on, you do.
dude, can you believe people buy those things to put on the seats?
Oh, it's insane.
So the charm goes on, just so they don't have to worry. So like, the amount of car crashes I've seen lately, and I don't know what it is with all my mates in the last week, but I've been getting so many things on Instagram. People just seeing people at car crashes and people flying out of cars.
Oh my god!
And I shouldn't laugh, but I'm just like,
but that's the guy who's got the seatbelt clip in the so he doesn't have to wear it, so it stops dinging. Yeah.
Dude, like, it's just second nature. Like, I don't even realize I put a seatbelt on.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, like, it's just one of those things where you just, like, open the door, sit, buckle.
It's as natural as turning the key. Like, it's, you know.
It's as natural as going to the toilet.
Yeah.
It's like, you don't even think about it, you just do it. You know, like,
yeah.
It's just like, oh, Jesus.
I know people my age that will almost not want to wear seatbelts, which is a really weird mentality. I don't really understand it.
I don't get it.
And if I'm in the car with them, I have to like tell them to put their seatbelt on, which I shouldn't have to. Not at this age.
No.
Like, if they're a child, okay. If they were maybe 70, 80, they probably grew up without seatbelts. But still.
You probably would have been at the same time, like Chad, as me, and like Scotty, you as well, like your grandparents or well, someone would be like, oh, he's going around the block. Don't worry about putting his seatbelt on.
No, absolutely not. Yeah. Oh, no. I mean, yeah, like it's such a silly thing.
No, but that's how it was.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, 100%. So weird.
Like my uncle and my grandfather would hop into the car. Like this is like, you know, on my dad's side. And I guess in old Palestine I'll tell you a funny story in a minute. But it's just like, oh, that didn't wear seatbelts. Like my mate, right? He's Lebanese and great guy. I've known him for years. Got the fastest WRX probably in Australia. Like it's
oh wow, okay.
Anyway, Anthony, you know who you are, and he was telling me he went to Lebanon in year 12. Anyway, he gets off the plane with his cousin, and again, cousins in Lebanon, but that's not the point. Anyway, gets into a taxi, puts their seatbelt on. Like, the cab driver turns around and laughs at them.
Like, what are you doing?
He's like, opening seatbelt, and they're like, have you seen the way you guys drive? Like, yes. So they're buckled up. Anyway, they're driving next to a bus, and he's like, I swear to God, this happened. And the bus driver, out of his seat, holding his steering wheel, dancing with the people in the bus. And he's like, this is the reason why I'm wearing this.
Oh, my God.
So, yeah, it's...
It's really a different world. Like, it is... the value of life is, unfortunately, so, like, looked over.
When he told me, though, he was just dancing and like, he was getting laughed at for wearing a suit. I'm like, dude, yeah, this probably should be a different world. But
they're having fun, though. That's the thing.
Oh, dude, if you're going to go out, you might as well go out having fun.
Yeah. Yeah, dancing with a bus driver.
Straight through the window.
Yeah.
But... It's a different world. I just remember my grandfather and even my grandmother to this day, and like, you know, like, I love her, and she doesn't speak a word of English, but you know, like, I have to remind her to put a seatbelt on.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, we're just going around the corner. I'm like, put your seatbelt on. Like, I physically stopped the car and say, put your seatbelt on. She's like, I can't get it on. I'll go out and put it on, you know, and, you know, make sure it's on. It's just, it's a mentality thing.
Yeah. 100%.
One also too, like, not because of her safety, but two, I'll cop a fine, you know,
and it's a nasty fine too.
Brutal fine. Yeah, you get bad. The merit points, you get a massive fine.
Yeah.
And it's not like my grandmother can talk her way out of it. She'd just be like, knowing believes it.
Knowing there's.
Like, I love her, but that's just how she is. And like, she's a lot better these days. I remember years ago, like, when I first got my piece, she'd never have a seatbelt. And I turn around, like, drive for half an hour, she has an adult. I'm like, what are you doing? Like,
I pull this car over right now.
But yeah, like, it's a different world. And you got to think sometimes, like, in different parts of the world, like, how things are.
Yeah. It's a lot different than what we're used to and how we've grown up.
Like, we've always taught, like, I was taught from a young age, bell on straight away. Like, as soon as you hop in the car, like, seatbelt on. Like, Scotty, like, how about in your end? Like, are your, like, grandparents and stuff similar to that? Like, they just were just like, oh, whatever? Or were they always belt?
I guess my grandparents, would belt up. But my grandpa used to go drive the Pintara and that out in the bush. That's what he used it for.
Yeah.
And we'd go out in the bush, and that's where we do, you know, yabbing and rabbiting, all that kind of cool stuff back in the day. And as soon as he'd get on the dirt roads and stuff, he'd actually start going faster and take his seatbelt off. But on the actual roads, he'll drive slower and have his seatbelt on. But as soon as he's in an area that he's comfortable with, popping along on dirt roads and things and going through paddocks, his seatbelt comes off and he starts driving faster.
It's so weird, isn't it?
Oh, dude, just want to reiterate, we don't condone his behavior.
No.
Car talk top tip, put your seatbelt on.
Yeah. How do we get there? Oh, Scam doesn't have back seatbelts. Yeah. That's right.
So car talk top tip, seatbelts on, important. But yeah, like, it's a different world. Like, Steph just got back from India, and she's like, they don't wear seatbelts there. Like, that's just.
Oh yeah, that would be wild. What's there? A seatbelt, yeah, really? Yeah.
And like, you know, you feel kind of naked with that one. You know, like, even on a go kart. Like I went go karting with some mates the other week. And like, you're not allowed to go on the track without a seatbelt. But I'm like, oh, dude, I'm glad I'm wearing the seatbelt, because like, I saw some nasty crashes. And I'm like,
there's been some wild stuff in go karting and crashes. Like, you'd be surprised how much you can hurt yourself.
Dude, did you guys see that video of that Civic that got split in half?
No.
You know, on a racetrack, Scotty, is that the one you've seen?
That's the one.
So basically, they're battling, and this EG, I think it might have hit another EG, and they go off the track, and there's a tree there, and the sedan EG just hits it and splits in half, and the guy just flies out of it.
Oh,
and no, the chick flies out of it, actually, and I'm like, how does that even happen? And it turns out this is mid race. She took off her seatbelt to change something or to get something in the car.
Oh, and that's when they crashed. And that's what
happened. I'm like, you're in a race. What the hell's going on?
Yeah, what's so important? Oh, that's bad.
So,
you know the dark side of Instagram.
Yeah, well, I'll show you the video after the show.
Great.
But it's pretty full on. But seeing as we're on the topic of safety and things like how much safety's changed, you know, even in cars though. Like for example, I remember, you know, my earliest memory was in my dad's Gemini.
Okay.
And yep. Lap belts, like my lady's still got a lap belt in the middle. In the middle.
Oh yeah, of course.
But you know, like that was just, you know, at least you're wearing something.
Mm.
Like that's like the three pointer belt didn't come until Volvo, I think, bought it in. And that's where their logo's got the, you know, the cross.
Oh my god, I've never thought of that.
Yeah,
that's unreal.
That's the reason why. So you were today years old.
Yeah, I own the Volvo. I'm like, what?
But yeah, like it's safety's come so far. Like cars are meant to crash today, and you get those old people. Oh, I don't build them like they used to, but they, you know, they're made to crash because the cars meant to take the impact, not you.
Yeah, that's right.
And you know, I was just thinking, like, how did so many people get away with accidents years ago? Here's the flip side of that coin. Do you think we're worse drivers now? Because we've got so many nannies and safety features in the cars.
That's a really good point, man.
To compare to where we were, Scotty, like, do you generally think that I'll leave it in your cable house, do you think we're crappier drivers now than we've ever been? Or do you think, you know, we take things for granted? Like, how do you see it? Because I never remember, like, I mean, there used to be severe, bad, like, horrible road trauma, and I used to remember seeing some horrible wrecks. But in terms of like I almost saw a guy get run over the other day. Like, I swear to God, like
a pedestrian?
Pedestrian, yeah. He was on a pedestrian crossing and I've pulled over like to wait. And coming the other way, this guy in this it was a Havel, one of the new ones. And Havel, we still want a sponsorship, so I'm not having a go.
That was happening.
Just kept driving. And the guy, he went past the guy to about, to half the car length beside him. And I was like, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't see you. I'm like, what were you looking at?
Yeah.
Like he was almost on the other side. And the guy had to step back. I was like, whoa, he would have got hit at probably 20 k's an hour.
That's a lot of damage to a person, like unprotected. It's something about I have to come back to it being us just being glued to our phones for the most part. I mean, a car can have all of the safety features. Sorry, I'm just going to sidetrack for a second, but do you guys remember when Volvo brought in the pedestrian, the, what was it called? The whatever, something, the CEO or someone, like the operations manager was like, I'll test it. Anyway, he just got run over by an XC90. Like, it's wild.
It was the best.
It was funny, awful that it happened, but perfect sort of, it's a perfect storm, you know? But yeah, I think a car can have all the safety features that they can throw at it, but if the driver and control is not paying attention, unfortunately, like, people are still going to get hurt. And I think because people rely on safety features for the general population, I think it does make them worse drivers. Like, it has to, because you're not as engaged. And I think that goes for me too. Like, my i30 has literally every bell and whistle that you could ask for. And I still find myself not paying attention, but like not being as engaged, especially like if I'm on the freeway, which is the most dangerous place to drive, right?
100 k's an
hour. Yeah. And yeah, so you're mixing speed with a lot of other factors, and like, you know, big vehicles, other people not paying attention. It's just like, it's a recipe for disaster. And I think, yeah, if everyone drove older cars without the safety features, there would be more engagement in terms of like being more focused. But we have to evolve. That's the other thing. So, yeah.
Scotty.
I'm a bit torn.
Yeah, I wouldn't say entirely lazy. I'd say impatient is one. Lack of experience and I think it's far too easy to get your license.
Mm-hmm.
They are the main problems. We are just set in our ways. It's this whole, like, I own the road attitude of people either not liking being overtaken or just real simple things, just not using indicators and not knowing how to use roundabouts, not knowing how to just accelerate from a roundabout, and pulling out in front of you and then just not accelerating, and such simple, silly things that could so be avoided if they weren't so distracted.
Yep.
Distraction is massive. There's so much going on inside cars.
Yeah. So are you saying sort of like inside the car, like not only your phone, but like your infotainment, your gauges that are all digital now, they've got a million things flashing and bonging at you. Do you reckon that's part of the problem too?
Yeah, it could be part of it. It's people can't concentrate for long enough anymore.
Yeah.
And
ADHD your mind culture.
Will wander.
Yeah.
And they just need to understand how important and dangerous a vehicle is.
My biggest worry is, Scotty, is because, look, and Tesla, to be fair, they're brilliant. Like they genuinely are. Like the way they work, their autopilot's incredible. There's videos of Americans, and I'm saying Americans in particular because that's where these videos are from, asleep at the wheel on their way to work with their Tesla driving them to work. Like, quite literally,
it's wild.
It's nuts. And like, technology's that good. Yeah, it is that good. Like, it's self-driving cars have been a thing for a while now. And, you know, are we saying to ourselves, do we actually want to drive, or are we phasing the human element out of driving? Is that what's happening to this point now, where cars are that good that they can drive themselves? It's safer for a robot to take over. Well, I'll give you an instance of an air crash story, and I watched too much Air Crash Investigation to for me never to go on a flight ever again. But you know, the computers, like these two planes were coming in head on at each other, and the systems were saying, the systems talked to each other saying pull up and pull down, and the pilots did the exact opposite of those things, and they didn't listen, and then caused a crash. Oh, yeah, and then wow. Almost 600-700 people died.
Right? Whoa!
Yeah, it was a massive accident, and that's because they weren't listening to technology. The technology wasn't at fault. It was the human element there. Now, by taking that human element out, do you reckon that increases our chances of safety, or it just makes us more susceptible to doing dumb things and being on our phones and not caring much about the radar? Just get me there in whichever way possible. I'm going to change the song to put on something else. Do you think that is where we're heading with that human element, or do you think that the human element will always be there for the engagement of driving, but the nannies are just so strong that if you make a mistake, it'll do it for you, but. But when it fails, it'll fail hard, because like that guy that driving that new Haval the other day, you know, it didn't stop when it saw the pedestrian. He kept driving, he quite literally, like, I'm sitting there at the pedestrian crossing, at the front of the pedestrian crossing, on the other, and watching him on the other side. I'm like, I said to myself, he's not stopping. Wait, he's going to hit him. And he quite literally, if the guy didn't see him coming and step back, he would have hit him. You know, are we getting to that point now where we're saying, oh, okay, this is the tipping point of the way bridge here. Okay, we're going to go full autonomous driving, or we're going to kind of ease out those nannies because they're just, you know, making us worse drivers.
Yeah, with full autonomy, it has to be all or nothing. Like, I think fundamentally, you can't have fully automated vehicles still being driven around other vehicles that are not autonomous. Like, it is, humans have emotional logic, and then, like, you know, like a sort of logical logic, if you want to put it that way. Like, you can make decisions based on emotion or pure logic, right? Whereas machines or you know, automated things, purely based on data and they're completely, what's that?
Ones
and zeros. Yeah, exactly. So you can't have somebody making a decision based on emotion and also a machine making a decision based on values and numbers. It just, it doesn't gel. And I think that's one, I think that we're still quite far from having full autonomous vehicles on the road. And are they even allowed in Australia? I'm not even sure. I'm not, I don't think there's like any rules governing it.
Piling stuff here. Well, I don't, yeah. I don't know what the legalities of that. And Riz, who's our local EV.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. He would be the man, actually. Yeah.
He's in a lot of conferences at the moment, but he'll be back on soon. But yeah, he'd be the guy to discuss that point with. But I think you're right, Chad. I think, you know, it's either an all or nothing approach. You can't kind of like pussyfoot it. You know what I mean? Like, you can't just beat around the bush, because you do that, and then it causes more confusion than there is than, you know, being a sensible driver. Now, like for me, though, if they said, oh, no, you got to be an autonomous driver, I'd say no, because I love driving, because I love driving.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like there's a reason why I like to get behind the wheel and go for a spin. And it's the reason why, like, if any people I say, oh, let's go for a drive, I'm like, oh, I'll be the first one to say, yeah, I'll drive.
Yeah,
like,
that's it.
Because I enjoy driving. I enjoy the feel of the car. I enjoy doing those things. But for a lot of people, they don't want that. They just want to get from A to B.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
You know, and that's fine, but those are the people that also, you know, quite often are not more distracted, because they do not want to drive. They're sitting in traffic.
They'd rather be somewhere else. Yeah.
And like, I understand you'd rather be somewhere else, and that's cool. But like, at the end of the day, you're still driving a machine that is capable of killing people.
Yeah. 100%.
You know, and next time you're in traffic, just look around you, I guarantee you, you'll see someone on their phone. You'll see someone like just not paying attention. If you're just sitting in traffic, you'll see someone just waiting, and then you'll see someone miss the light when it goes green. They'll sit there for about 3 or 4 seconds, and then someone will beep them like, oh. Every day. That happens every day, and I swear it's getting worse.
I think it is, and especially since I've been driving trucks.
So you don't,
because you sit a fair bit higher up than most cars. Yeah. You do.
More people on the roads, you know.
Yeah,
more people on the roads, therefore more people not as engaged, being on their phones or doing other stuff. So, yeah, but I do agree it is an epidemic, and I, you know, if there's anything that law enforcement can enforce more, is that.
Well, they've got the those stands at the traffic lights with
checking
which I think is a good idea. And look, I'll admit I've been guilty of just dozing off, like, you know, at a set of lights, and someone beeped at me. I'm like, oh, sorry, yeah, I'm guilty of doing that. I'm not gonna, you know, throw a stone and not say that I've made mistakes. And mistakes when I've driven, and
we all do. It's human nature, and
it's human error.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's just when it's getting to a point now where I'm constantly seeing it. Like, I've never seen it this bad. Like, would you agree, Scotty? Like, it's progressively getting worse.
Yeah, I think so. It just makes me think, like, is it getting worse, or am I noticing it more?
More, yeah.
Mm.
You know how when you buy a car and then all of a sudden you're like, oh, now they're everywhere.
Yeah.
Really everywhere, or am I just noticing it more?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's
kind of hard to say. I think I'd need to see some actual data, if possible, around it, which I'm sure that there's plenty of data out there for everything. But it'd
be good to look into
it. It's like I start to think about also, is road rage on the rise, or is it always been the same, but now everyone's got phones and can film it? Everyone's got dash cams and can film it. Oh,
interesting, yeah. It's more visible to us, yeah.
Or you can.
It was never visible. No one had dash cams, but now we see more of it. Has it always been like that? Who knows?
Yeah, and you bring up a great point. Like with Dash Cam Owners Australia or something, like that page itself is just like, oh, when I was, I'm like, oh god, we're terrible drivers, but for sure that's been going on for years, you know, to an extent.
Yeah.
I'm sure most of it's always been the same, but. It's just hard to, you just see more of it. So you think, oh, everything must be getting worse. And you just see all this crazy road rage stuff you didn't see before. Well,
confirmation bias, is that the thing?
Beforehand, there could have been heaps of punch-ons with road rage, but the news isn't going to show it because there's no footage.
Dude, I remember, did you remember that guy in that GTI?
That was so funny.
And he was
That was fairly recent, that one, wasn't it?
And then he runs away because he sees a cop, and then the cop's chase. That is one of my all-time favorite videos. Yeah, like, that personifies a GDI driver.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that one where he got out and he kind of does a little, he's like skipping?
Yeah, towards. That's the one. That's cool.
He doesn't walk, he does some weird
thing. Up to a fight.
Yeah, that was weird. What a loser.
Another good one is the guy that comes to the window and starts whacking it. Dude, he can't break the window. And then all the memes that are from after, like there's a guy like an Arab drummer.
Did you see the one in the Craigieburn car park?
No, which one was that one?
He's I don't know what happened or the backstory, but one guy is just standing there like this the whole time, just completely blank faced. And the other guy, I'm pretty sure it might have been in a GTI again as well. He's like out of the car going nuts. And he's jumping up and down like at his face, like he's Skippy the Kangaroo or something. He's like all G'd up and his chest is pumped and he's jumping up and down.
What is it about GTIs?
And the other guy's just standing there, just blank face, like doesn't give a shit. It was hilarious.
Dude, at Super Cheap, bro, we had... I remember this day like it was yesterday. It was one of the funniest moments of my life. I'm like, I can't believe this is actually happening. I got called up to come serve at the desk, right? And in the meantime, I just see this guy come in the rock. So where our Super Cheap is, there's like a one-way entrance, and you've all been there, right? And so you know exactly what I'm talking about when people come in the wrong entrance, right? So this person comes in the wrong entrance, and almost hits this guy, and this guy's like, "What are you doing? Like, take it easy." Anyway, so he's like, "What a dickhead!" Like, walks into the store, gets his shopping. Anyway, he's at the counter with me, and I'm serving him at the counter. And in 2 seconds, I just see this guy walk straight to the counter, and starts going, "You want to have a go, mate? You want to punch up? Come on, let's go outside. I'll knock you out. I'll lay you out right now." And the guy's just like, "Mate, you drove in the wrong way. You didn't follow the signs. You almost hit me. You're the dickhead."
Oh, this was in the car. Oh, right.
I'm at the counter. I'm just like, "Oh God, what the hell? Like, what do I say?"
What's about that?
And he's like, "Mate, come on, I'll knock you out right now. Let's go outside. I'll bash you. Come on, mate. You want to have a go? You want to act smart in the car park?" And the guy's like, "It's like, mate, you're in the wrong. Like, what's wrong with you?" He's like, "I'm not gonna fight you. You're a dickhead. Like, if we're gonna fight, he's gonna be for a purpose." He's like, "Oh, come on, you're big tough. When I'm in a car now, and I'm standing right in front of you, you're not gonna fight." Anyway, obviously, and Sam, one of the guys I work with, he's a funny guy. He's like, "Sorry guys, we've got children in the store. Could you take this outside?" I just like died, and the guy's like, "There's nothing to be laughing about, mate. I want to knock this guy out." And I'm like, and Sam just gave it a straight face. I'm like, "Dude, shut up! I can't do this right now. You need to keep serving this guy." Anyway, the guy that's being yelled at, it's like, "Mate, you need to calm the hell down." Like, he's like, "I'm not going to fight you. You're a dickhead." He's like, "Don't call me dickhead." He's like, "You're being a dickhead." He's like, "I'll punch you on in the store." He's like, "You're not going to touch me in the store, mate." He's like, "Oh, he pays for shopping." I'm like, "Mate, have a good night." He's like, "Oh, make sure you serve this guy." So he walks up, and the guy's like, "Yeah, I told him this, that he's acting all tough." I'm like, "Mate, you're a dickhead. Like, come on."
It's a shame you were working and you couldn't say what you were thinking, you know?
It's funny. Those scenarios could have been solved with a simple, "Oops, sorry.
I cocked up. I'm,
everyone messes up sometimes. Who cares?"
Yeah, you can't be too proud. People
get angry if you did the wrong thing. All you got to do is just go, just put your hand out like that.
Sorry.
And I would say majority of the time they go, "Okay," and they settle down.
Yeah.
But if you've done the wrong thing and you arc up and start flipping them off, it's going to make matters way worse.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Someone cut me off before back at Airport West, where I'm going, that stupid one at the back of Target, that little intersection.
Yeah.
So I'm going straight and the car's just going shoom, straight through, and I toot my horn because I have to hit the brakes, and he flipped his finger up at me.
Amazing.
So, and then just arcs you up even more.
Dude.
Stupid.
I've seen some crazy stuff on the road, and I was just like, you wonder, it's like driving. It's like frustrating for people where they have to get so to the point of they just blow up.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm like, I find driving relaxing. like for the most
part. For the most part, yeah.
And, you know, like I almost got my Typhoon written off the other day because this guy is, again, and is it just me or is it 90% Hiluxes and Ranger drivers?
No, they're all tradies. Yeah.
Any U driver, like he's got.
Like, he's going to do something dumb. Yeah.
Dude, like, it's a two lane road. Got a Hilux, people that are in a Hilux, just drives into my lane. I'm like, I hit the brakes. I'm like, what are you doing? And he's like, sorry, I cocked up. And I'm like, I'm looking at him, I'm like,
whatever. Yeah,
whatever, just idiot. But you just got to think sometimes, like, it's, I personally, like, getting back to what we were saying earlier, like, I think it's, you're right, Scotty. It hasn't been as well widely shown as it is now. Everyone's got a camera. Everyone's got a dash cam. Everyone's got this and the other. Everyone's got dash cam owners Australia on their what's called notification bell. But also, yeah, the cars have got all, you know, the safety. It's like in the Fiesta, like if I'm veering out of my lane, it puts me back in the lane. Like, you know, car features have got, you know, tons of safety, tons of tech. You know, it also kind of makes you want it feel like you're not driving. What up in the late in my laser? It's a breath of fresh air. Like, it's the only safety feature it's got. It's ABS. like that. That's it. And a couple of airbags. You know, and that is essentially it. You know, it is a car. You're driving the car and
you are in control. Yeah. Yeah. Like, absolutely. it's got assists, but it doesn't have, aids. Like, yeah. It's not
Gran Turismo.
What assists do you think are on cars now that are like perfect? For example, mine are the blind spot mirrors.
That's brilliant.
Where the light comes down.
Amazing. Still don't know how it works.
Perfect. Every time I'm moving up, like in dual lane traffic, and I see someone's blind spot light come on, I calm down.
Yeah.
I could just keep going past them fine.
They know I'm there.
You'd hope they do.
More relaxed that they know I'm there. I don't need to quickly accelerate to get beside them to let them know that I'm there. I can just keep kind of going normally.
Oh. Like that's a great feature.
I think that's
fantastic. That's a brilliant feature. Another good one is on my brother's. I don't know if your car's got this, but on my brother's, he's got a brand new Santa Fe. You put the indicator on, and it in the gauge cluster where you've got your speedo and your rev counter. It shows your blind spot your blind spot camera.
Oh, okay. Well, no, it's, I haven't got that.
Brilliant.
Oh. All right.
So you get a little camera that shows you what the mirror is looking at.
Correct. What the blind spot is. So you indicate on to go right, and your tachometer, it shows your revs at the top of the screen, but then that circle becomes the camera view, and you're like, oh, that's my blind spot. And you flip your left, and it's the same thing with the speed. The speed goes to the top, but it shows you your blind spot. I'm like, that is a brilliant feature.
That's great.
It's an awesome feature. I'm like, that's genius.
I know some of the, not the latest Honda Civic, but the one just before that had that as well. I think it was like a standard feature or something in some of them. That's going back like 2017 even. Like, it's a few years now.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I thought that was a cool one.
I think it's a great feature. I think 360 cameras are a good feature too.
Like when you're parking and stuff.
When you're parking. I mean, it's a safety feature, but it's a good feature where you can see your surroundings from the top that sometimes you won't be able
to. It's a nice layer to have on top of like your visual, your ability to see around. Correct.
I don't think it's an aid. I think it's more of a buffer.
Yeah, that's a good one, actually.
If that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like it's more of like a, oh yeah, I've got this much space, especially when you get boxed in, you're like, oh God, I can't move the car.
Yeah.
That's a great thing to help you. So you're getting out 30 times and looking, and doing a 150 point turn like a dickhead. But, I think that's
mind you, you still see people in brand new cars still doing terrible park jobs, or it's like, are you that bad, or did you just not pay for the 360 camera option? Like, which one is it?
They got the blank space on the dashboard.
Yeah, it should be, yeah. I'm going to say, I think my favorite safety feature is automatic headlights.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Because the amount of people I see without headlights, driving in at dusk or at night, it's absurd. Like, I would say once once a night, whenever I'm driving at night, I will see somebody without headlights. And partially it's a lot of the new cars have light up dashes.
Yeah, I was just
automatically lit up. Like it's not big when you put your lights on.
Yeah.
They just automatically light up. So you automatically think, oh, my headlights are on. But you know, just having that thing about auto headlights, as soon as it's dark, it just comes on. You don't have to worry about it. I think that's saving probably a lot of people.
I think that's a brilliant feature because you're right. Most new cars, and the amount of times I see people with like their full dashboards lit up over like a Christmas tree and everything, they're fine. But it completely around them is dark. Like, and I flash people to turn on their lights and they get angry at me doing it. I'm like, dude, your lights, turn your lights on.
It's so hard to like say, it's so hard to convey what you want to say to them, like from a car. Yeah.
Turbo Terry, Mr. Anthony, who's a cop, he's been on the show many times. He's like, he loves pulling people over and giving a fine for that reason.
It's such a stupid thing to not do.
Yeah, he's like, oh, you've got lights, use them. Oh, I didn't realize that they weren't on. Like, well, they're not on. So here's your $400 fine. You know, and it's, I agree with that. Like that should be, but again, that really reiterates the point of new cars, you know, being so good that they're also so bad that they make you think that your lights are on, right? Because your whole dashboard's lit up, all your instrumentation's lit up.
Yes. Oh,
you know, this is fine. So again, it's kind of like a catch 22.
Yeah, it's a full circle.
Happened to me once in the Evo.
All right.
That was night, but where I was, just down in Sunbury, it was all completely lit up.
Yeah.
So I didn't realize, and it was the first car that I had that all the dash and everything is always lit up, no matter what.
Yeah.
I'm used to that. All my previous cars, you have to turn headlights on to get any cluster to light up.
I think it's part of the issue, like that it doesn't have the old school. Well, yeah, like it's
no lights at all.
Yeah, no lights at all, or lights when you have your lights on. Yeah.
Yeah.
What Evo was it? 10?
No, 8.
Oh, right. Wow, that's got a light up dash like at all times. Yep. Interesting.
Even Mazda 3s from like the first Mazda 3s.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. Yeah.
So it's been around a while. But yeah, I would agree with you, Scotty. Now, I want to get your take on lane keep assist. Do you reckon that's a bit BS because it's kind of like, well, it's just you can essentially just let the car do its thing, or do you think it's a good feature?
I think it is a good feature now. My brother has been going through the Hiluxes, so he gets them updated all the time with work and gets a new one. He's due for a new one soon again. And what he's noticed is originally the lane departure in the older model was really smooth and you could pretty much let go of the steering wheel and do it. But the newer model was a lot more rougher.
Mm.
It would know and really tell you if you're out of that lane and kind of give you that nudge to let you know and not actually work as an autopilot. So that's what he's noticed. That's come from him. So
is it like haptic feedback through the steering wheel or something? Is that how it sort of lets you know?
Yeah, so if it's veering, it'll really give you a force back instead of just a little kind of sweeping back over.
Oh, right.
On the Fiesta, right, it does it automatically, but you can also adjust the severity of it.
Oh, interesting.
So
sensitivity,
So the sensitivity, so you can say...
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so low, medium, high. I've got it kind of on medium and it just kind of just wafts me back. But I try it with the hard setting. It's like...
It just really swerves you back.
And the steering vibrates really hard.
Oh, interesting.
Because you can adjust that as well.
I wonder if this is kind of similar the way it's set. I'm not sure.
But like if I have it on the medium setting, it doesn't even shake the steering. It just kind of just wafts you back into lane and gets it going. But the only car that I think works really well that I've driven is a Tesla and my mom's FL5. Like it's smooth on that. It works brilliantly. Adaptive cruise works well. Like it makes sense on that car. But then here's the issue. I start playing games, right? So I'm like, well, let's see how far I can take this. I wait to see it for it to get pissed off at me. Put your hands back on the wheel.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, what if I don't?
What if I don't? You just kind of held your hands close to the wheel and you go, How long till you're gonna, like, I don't know. Yeah, kick me off this.
Like, I kind of chickened out because he said, put your hands away and start flushing at you and doing all sorts of things. I'm like, do I? Okay, I'll do it. And I'm like, okay. And then I take my hands off again. And I'm like, is it going to be like, no, screw you, I'm just going to turn into a wall? And just like, you know, you don't
teach
you
a lesson.
Teach you a lesson. Like,
you puts the hazards on hard. And just moves and parks on the left.
Oh, that would be brilliant.
And says, you are a dickhead.
Yeah. Time out.
Turns the car off.
Puts the clutch in.
It's kind of like, you know, when you put in the password wrong too many times.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you get locked out.
And it just locks you out for a couple of hours.
Sitting on the side of the ring road, you are now locked out.
I think my car has an attention meter. Yeah. Oh yeah, because your brother's car would have that, right? Yeah. So I think if you keep like putting lane assist and steering assist on, and then and you keep ignoring the warnings of it, put your hand back on the wheel, it will eventually like run out of patience almost. It'll run out of like, oh, you have not been paying attention, and it will like lock you out of some assists. Yeah, I think I haven't tested it that far. I've gone to the point of like low attention just because that's what I wanted to test, but I haven't gone past it because I chickened out a little bit and I'm like, oh, I'll be good.
Your homework for the weekend.
Yeah. I'll give that a go. I'll just drive around on the freeway like an idiot. Yeah.
What's this dickhead doing?
Yeah, he's doing less.
So in other words, you got to make the car crack the shits with you.
Yeah. How far can I push it?
How far can I push it before it completely cracks the shit?
And yeah, maybe it'll just be like, no, you can't have lane assist or steering assist.
But have you seen what they sell now? Like they sell these weights for you put on your steering
wheel. Oh, no.
Yeah, really? So like the seatbelt thing, so the bong doesn't go off anymore. It's a way for the
steering wheel,
and it's like it feels like hand material. So it feels like people put on their.
It simulates a hand.
It's one that's amazing, but two, that's completely ridiculous that's allowed to be sold.
You just reminded me of something. Do you remember when it was maybe the Model S or the Model 3 Tesla? And people were shoving oranges into the part of the horn and the rim of the wheel, so it would like have a bit of weight there, and it was just people taking photos of them driving along with a orange stuck into the wheel. It's so funny, but I mean awful also.
It's called Orange Gate.
Is that what it was called? That's good. Unofficial name.
Dude, like it's also like crazy because in America too, in Kia, and do you remember the story about the Kia boys?
Oh, yeah, that was bad.
Kia and Hyundai, they get the immobilizers in their cars. So these people would be stealing cars, but just taking off the cowling and the steering wheel, taking off the barrel and putting a USB stick
in
it.
Yeah.
Can't start.
A USB could start the car, which was amazing.
So like, my God, like, yeah.
I think it's still happening. Like, it's Kia and Hyundai still being sued over there for the Kia boys incident. Like, it's, you know.
I like it. It was a thing. Hashtag Kia boys.
Yeah, that's so stupid.
You know, I really watched the lady about it. She starts crying. I felt bad for her, but it was funny as she was talking about her car. Like she's interviewed on like Good Morning America, one of those TV shows. It was like a news report, you know. And she's showing a picture of her Kia. It was a Kia Soul. She's like, I love my Kia. And she named it, and then. Don't laugh, bro. This is she's like, you know, I love Betsy and then all of a sudden Betsy was stolen and I see it on TikTok jumping over a curb.
I remember saying, yeah, you sent it to us and watching them just launch it.
I have to find that.
I'll find it after the show. It was like, and she said, they're crying, beating her up, and I'm just crying, and I'm like, oh my God.
It's a KSL.
It was Betsy, you know, it was good old Betsy, but oh man, I was just like,
Betsy.
Can we take apart your console and just see if you've been USB start your car?
Well,
I don't think in Australia.
Nah.
I think in Australia we didn't postcard that much, but
yeah, I think it's got push to start, but I don't know if it actually has a key barrel.
That's true.
Yeah.
But the
I'm sure you can like connect hack it with a Bluetooth and start it or something though.
That's also what's also scary too, right? Like this is a kind of an important point. You know, technology is like crazy, right? Like you know, especially with electric cars, you think someone just press a button, power off your car.
Yeah.
Like surely, like that's a thing. Surely, there's that possibility that can happen.
I mean, that can happen in old cars though. Anything that has an electrical system, right? If it's correct. If we're talking like EMP type thing,
yeah.
That'll just wipe out any type of electrical interference. Correct. So and then it doesn't have that.
It is.
It's a tiny little generator.
But like, especially like with cars, like with over the air systems, like even with my Fiesta, right?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
It's got over the air things and all that, you know, can you make it in like, just switch it off? Like that's kind of,
I think it's possible, I suppose. Right.
Yeah. It'll be the Fiesta boys next.
Yes. That actually sounds like a real thing.
Does it?
Like a UK group of Fiesta owners.
Definitely UK.
Yeah.
just what do they call them? Chavs? Is that what they're called? Yeah.
The Fiesta Chavs.
Fiesta Chavs. and then there would be like the Russian boys in the E30s and E36s.
Yeah.
I love
that stuff.
Have you seen all those UK car meet videos from Adam C posts them all up?
No.
On YouTube.
What are they about?
Nothing but drama. Heaps of pop bang tunes in their cars.
Nice.
Yeah, should check out some of his. They're pretty wild. They're just meetups where someone will just put it in to their phone and they meet up somewhere at night, and then if the cops get there they move to another one, and massive turnouts though. Heaps of cars.
And they're just doing pop and bang tunes or pop and bangs.
Yep. Just revving.
Yeah.
Sounds like my kind of people with the i30.
Yeah, you fit in. there was one of them, it was a GDR, and it was that loud next to him that the next time when it went by he was actually scared. He's like, please don't do it, please don't do it. Destroyed his ears.
All right, so to finish off before we get to the quiz, car talk top tip: safety is good, but
Take it for granted.
Don't take it for granted. Yeah, yeah.
Don't abuse it.
Yeah,
maybe.
Absolutely.
Please be alert when you're driving. Think of others.
Yeah, absolutely. God.
Everyone's got a family.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Everyone wants to get home. Just think of it that way.
It's just not fair on someone else that could cop your stupidity.
Yeah. I learned two things from my parents when driving. My dad said, "Think ahead. Don't be a dickhead." So think ahead of the car, not in front of you, but in front of that.
Yeah.
And my mom always said, look at it all around you. There's people driving everywhere. Think about where all these people are going. They're probably going home. They're probably going to work. They've got people around. So you've got to think they're also trying to get to a place just like you.
Yeah.
So that's my kind of talk.
That's good wisdom, yeah.
Yeah. So, but anyway, let's leave it at that. Let's get to the quiz, gentlemen. It's one versus one tonight.
Yeah. Too bad you can't be a part of it, Matty.
I know. I unfortunately know all the answers. So as you can see, Scotty, my camera is here facing, and Chad is over here, so he can't really exactly see my
camera. That's all right, Matty. I trust you.
Oh, I know you do. I know you do.
Trust you 100%.
So
it's for posterity.
So I want to get the quiz up. Now, guys, I've got 10 questions plus, well, quite literally, actually, nine questions, but I've got a few bonus questions in there purely for the fact that I was going to put a couple of extra...
the brochure ones?
Yeah, the brochure ones, but I've got them on my phone, so when I'm going to get to there, Brochure questions, which I'll get to in a second. But it's Chad versus Scott. It's Subaru and Toyota versus Mercedes and Nissan.
Yeah. Essentially, yeah.
It's essentially what's going on. It's dirty S chassis versus dirty head gaskets. It's all here. Let's get into it. Question one.
I own a Nissan too.
You do own a Nissan too. That is correct. Plenty of interchangeable parts between your 31 and the.
Oh, that's true.
And the S4.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll take your whole front, thanks.
The whole front. Interesting.
Yeah.
Knuckle. Question one. The Daihatsu Terios has, believe it or not, been in production since 1997 to today. It's still being made. But it is only being sold in one country. Where do you think it is being sold?
Chad. Thailand?
Oh, no. You're on the right track, though. It is not Thailand.
Scott. Singapore.
Incorrect. Indonesia is the only place in the world that's too
really? Sold.
The Terios.
Wow. That's bizarre.
Bonus question. Now, this is probably going to be, and no one's going to get this question, but the word Terios originates from the old Greek word what? It's, I'll give you a hint, making something true. So Terios means making something true. It's quite literally crickets in this room.
Something true. So
it's making something true.
Scott. Making vision and dreams come true.
Oh, I'll give it to you, Scotty. It's making dreams come true.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's what Terios means, apparently. Question two. Scotty, would you like a score check, by the way? You're winning. It's 1-0.
That's all I need to know.
Damn.
Question two. The BMW M1, the supercar. Had its engine used in what other BMW product?
Chad. The 850.
Incorrect.
Or was it an 860?
Oh, incorrect. It's a six-cylinder, straight six.
Oh. Go on, Scott.
Scott.
Is it the M5 back
it
then?
It was the first M5, the E28 M5.
Oh, no.
Question three. The Focus XR5 Turbo was known as the what overseas?
Could you say that again?
The Ford Focus XR5 Turbo was known as the what overseas?
Scott. It was the ST.
It was the ST. Well done. Bonus question. Jeremy Clarkson referred to the car as the ASBO due to ST standing for what in his eyes? He mentioned it on an episode of Top Gear. I'm going to call it the ASBO because ST means something.
ASBO, like A-S-B-O.
ASBO. Oh, Scott.
Scott.
Sanitary towel.
Sanitary towel.
Yeah.
That's correct.
Oh, wow.
Question four. Scotty's on fire. Yeah. The TG Holden Gemini had a performance model introduced in 1983. It had a special body kit and in special color and special decals. What was it called?
Chad. Is it like the SLE or something?
Oh, you're kind of on the right track, but incorrect. I'll give you 0.5 because it has got three letters. So I'll give you that. 0.5.
Shit.
Nah, I'm out.
It's the ZZ/Z. ZZZ. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, that's what it was
called. That's bizarre.
Oh, we saw one.
We did.
Really?
Yeah.
It was a classic Japan, was it?
Yeah. Was it yellow?
Yellow. No, there was a... I might have been a yellow one. I think.
So is it the same model as the Isuzu?
Yeah, correct. Yeah.
Okay. So that, like, coupe.
Yeah, but it was a four-door.
Right.
It had, like, a full body kit, you know, kind of flares and shit. It was cool.
Wow.
Question five. The Mitsubishi 380 was an Australian designed and made car. It was based on the Galant, however, was changed significantly. According to Mitsubishi, how many percent, so I'm after a percentage here, of changes were made to the Galant to create the Mitsubishi 380? I'll give it closest to.
Scott. I'm going to go right out there and say 91%.
Chad.
I'm going to go like 85.
Chad, you are close enough. It's 70%. They said they changed 70% of the car to make it suit Australian conditions.
70% of the
Galant. Yeah.
Wow, that's a lot of change.
A lot of changes, apparently. Bonus question.
They made it look ugly.
Bonus question. Besides Australia, where was the 380 sold? And there was only one other country. Scott.
New Zealand.
New Zealand is absolutely
correct. Yeah, I thought it was going to be.
Question six. Ja Rule the rapper, famous rapper, said no to playing his character in the Fast and Furious 2, known as Too Fast, Too Furious. Who replaced him to play Chad?
Was it Ludacris?
Ludacris, correct. Yeah? Yeah.
Okay.
So Ludacris got offered the role and said, yeah, sure. And became a multi-billionaire while Ludacris in
existence. I mean, yeah. And then Jarrell did Fire Festival.
Yeah, Fire Festival. yeah. Well, besides 50 Cent destroying his career, Fire Festival, yeah. Shout on it. Question 7. He had a song in the movie. What was it called?
Had a what, sorry?
Ludacris had his song in Too Fast, Too Furious. What was it called?
Yeah, he did. Scott.
Scott.
It was just called Too Fast, Too Furious.
No, incorrect.
Wasn't it? Oh, okay.
So it's a song from the two, from Too Fast, Too Furious.
It's in the, it's on the soundtrack. It was in the movie.
Hmm.
Act a Fool.
Act a Fool is absolutely correct, Chad. Well done.
Ah.
Score check. Scotty on 5, Chad on 3.5. Still plenty of time to go.
Boys in the gap.
Question 8. Which car brand has a Monte Carlo level of trim specification in Australia currently on sale?
Chad. Skoda.
Skoda is correct.
And yeah, I thought it was only Fabia, but there's two models.
There's two models. Yeah. That is absolutely Kimmich? Correct. Kimmich is, I believe, the yellow one.
Or Kodiak or something.
Gotta double check it. But yeah, well done. So let me
get... I had to get that one right because my wife owns a Fabia, so she'd be upset.
No, yeah, she'd be like, how could you? You've let me down. You've let me down. Poor bloke thinks she's looking at him. He couldn't be more wrong. In actual fact, it's the eye-catching new blank V6 Sports that's grabbing her attention. And who can blame her? With its lower suspension, 16-inch alloys, front grille and rear deck sport, it's definitely a car that was meant to be admired. The interior boasts a distinctly sporty feel with leather-bound steering wheel and gear stick, brushed aluminium dash, and unique sports trim. But blank V6 Sports, so this is an Australian car, by the way, is not just great to look at, it's great to drive. Both the automatic five-speed manuals boast a powerful 3-litre V6. In addition, with a lower suspension, provides excellent road holding without compromising ride comfort. As if this isn't enough, blank V6 Sports is the only Australian-built car to come with sports mode transmission. This exciting Mitsubishi innovation allows you the choice of both an automatic and manual transmission. With the gear stick selected, pushed to the right of you, you get the cruising convenience of a sport 4-speed automatic. Push to the left and you engage sports mode. This will in turn give you powerful acceleration and sheer driver enjoyment of a manual. Like to see more? Get yourself to your local Mitsubishi dealership for a test drive. That's all I'll give you.
I don't think which one had the shifter.
Something Mitsubishi something V6 Sports.
Scott. Was it the Mitsubishi Magna Sport?
It was the Magna
Sport. It was I was like, there's no way it's a Magna.
It was the Magna Sports.
What was the first part of the thing? Who is she looking at or something?
Yeah, poor bloke thinks she's looking at him. Look at the... I'll show you, Scotty.
Here's a look.
Oh, that's funny. That is so good.
It's kind of misogynistic at the same time, but it's very interesting. Magna V6 Sports, there you go. So that is the last question of the evening. Score check. Chad on 4.5, Scotty on a grand total of 5.6. Well done, Scotty. You're tonight's winner.
Well done, Scotty.
That was actually pretty close. You'll catch it.
Yeah,
Chad was like, I'm on the way,
man. Yeah.
That was some good questions.
Yeah, some great questions there. Some good fun. Scotty, I'll give you the homework. You can do the quiz. Bring some cryptic cards for next week. How does that sound?
Oh yeah, that sounds fun.
Yeah, yeah. I can bring in some cryptics and I can't remember. I was doing something else too.
You were.
And something else I threw in there.
You did like, oh, we're gonna rewind and have a look.
Yeah, I'm into the car brochure questions though. That's cool.
They're hard because they're like, oh yeah, well I wonder what they are. I was trying to give it away with Mitsubishi blank.
You slipped Mitsubishi, didn't you?
Okay, well, I may as well say it now. So
yeah.
But anyway, gentlemen, I think that's a podcast.
Good stuff.
I think so.
Scotty, golf tip of the week.
Golf tip of the week. So I went out on Sunday, and I think what I learned, because, you know, it was really, really hot on Sunday, that it's never too early to have some beers.
To cool off. Cool off. Amazing.
Well, I think amazing, it was too. Like, it was playing with one of my brother's mates as well when we're out there. And I think it was probably about 8 o'clock in the morning or something, and he's cracking them open. Want a beer, Scotty? Like, oh, yeah, all right. I hate the morning.
It's Sunday.
It's 5 o'clock somewhere, yeah, right? Like this.
Yeah, especially this weekend. Yeah. We had the next day off as well, which is nice.
Yeah, and it was still hot.
Yeah, it was hot.
Good tip of the week, Scotty. I can add it to gripping the shaft and cleaning the balls. I can add that to those, yep, to those phenomenal.
God, those are good tips.
They're great tips, aren't they?
Tips to live by.
Tips to live by. Oh, I love it. Chad's deliveries. And by the way, Chad, congratulations on getting married, mate.
Thank you, man. Appreciate it.
That's awesome news. So congratulations to you and to Gemma. I wish you guys all the very best and all of the happiness in the world.
Thank you, man.
So all the very best with that, mate. And we'll have to get working on that on 190. So
so we can plenty of time to be spent.
I'll bring my spray cans.
I've got a blue and a green.
Just rattle.
Work.
Why not? Anything is better than no paint. You know what I mean?
Like and share our Facebook page. It's Car Talk TORQ with Benny J. Famous and previous episodes are all up on iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasting app. So don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review to us there. Check out our merch. Go to Teespring store. Go to teespring.com. We've sort of fed the merch recently, which has been really, really good. Support the show there. Or you can support the show by becoming a patron to our Patreon. Go to patreon.com/CarTalkPodcast and support the show there. Gentlemen, honor as always, and I'll see you next time.
Thank you, guys. Good night.
Yeah.